Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
This show is sponsored by Concealment Solutions, makers of some of the best concealment holsters on the market. From the outside the waistband Cobra to the inside the waistband Black Mamba CE, and for people who like to carry in the appendix position, as I do often, the appendix specific platform, the ASP 2.1 and 3.0. Check out Concealment Solutions, use the coupon code HandgunWorld and get a 10% off of your order. Hi folks, I'm Bob Main. Welcome to episode number 362 of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. I am going to, this episode, review a training class that I took last weekend. Tom Gibbons' two-day combative pistol class. So I'm going to give you that review here coming up shortly. I am doing the usual, traveling in the Handgun World mobile studio, and got a little bit of free time here, a little windshield time, so I'm going to take advantage of that and talk to you about some guns. How's that? And also talk to you about training with some guns. So this episode is going to release on Monday, March 28th, 2016. Normally my shows release on a Sunday morning, but this being Easter weekend, I am going to spend a lot of quality time with family. I may not have the time that I normally spend on a weekend to edit and upload this podcast, so I might be doing it on really early on Monday morning. We'll see how it goes. If it comes out on Easter Sunday, well, then that means I had a little extra time this weekend and was able to get it all put together. So last weekend, I went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and went to the LSU Police Range. That was pretty cool. The LSU, the Louisiana State University Police, their training range. That's where Tom Gibbons conducted his two-day combative pistol class. Had a training partner that I went with, you know, Chuck, who lives in the New Orleans area. Hi, Chuck. How you doing? I know you're listening. it's great to have a training partner. And actually, Dr. John Adine also met me out there. You know, Dr. Adine from Doctors Responsible for Gun Ownership. And he's also a pediatric orthopedic surgeon in San Antonio. He has been on many podcasts. So really, I had two training partners. The two of them were out there. They took the class with me. And it's great because one of the cool things is when you have a training partner, you can kind of compete with each other. And Chuck and I were doing that a lot since we were standing next to each other most of the time. We were competing with each other, and I won. Just joking. Just joking, Chuck. No. I'm just kidding you. But it's great to get competitive, you know? I mean, Tom Gibbons put us under a lot of different types of pressure, which I'm going to talk about. But then there's also the pressure of shooting against your buddy. And, of course, you want to beat your buddy, right? So there's that kind of pressure, too, which adds to the value of the course, in my humble opinion. So I went out there to Baton Rouge, Louisiana State Police Range. There were a couple of LSU police officers that took the class too, and I was glad to see that. I'm always glad to see law enforcement out there taking good quality training. In the class, Tom Gibbons shared with us that the average hit ratio for law enforcement is 18%. I think that's a little low. Of course, you know, with Mr. Gibbons' credentials, you know, who am I to doubt what he's saying? But I thought that was a little low. But if that's the case, then police officers really need this training. And again, I'm not picking on police officers. I never do. I never disparage them. I just want them to, if they're going to be out there protecting and serving us, I want them to be the best that they can be. And I don't think that 18% is the best that they can be. Anyway, I will get to that a little bit later. So here's what I want to say. I'm going to talk about the positives and the negatives of the class. I was impressed with Tom Gibbs' knowledge. His knowledge and his research that the on the threats that civilians can and do face. You know, I mean, he says he's been doing this for 40 years. He's had something like 65 students of his be in an actual gunfight. They've been in a gunfight. 65 students. 62 of them won. How about that, huh? 62 out of 65 victories. And you know why the other three lost? Tom says they forfeited because they didn't have a gun. I'll say that again. 62 of 65 of his students that have been in a gunfight won. The other three lost because they didn't have a gun, or probably didn't have quick enough access to a gun. Either they didn't have a gun or they didn't have enough good enough access to a gun. So folks, carry your gun and carry it on you, on your person. I'm going to talk about that because Tom Gibbons taught a lot about that. One of the big takeaways I got from the class is Tom shared with us that nearly one in four people will face violence in their lives. Nearly one in four people in today's society. Man, isn't that interesting, folks? Think about that. The other big takeaway, another one I got, was he spent a lot of time talking about time. I'll say that again. He spent a lot of time talking about time. How many people, when they're in a defensive gun use, they waste a lot of time. Time is your best friend in a gunfight. Saving time is paramount. And Tom spent a lot of time teaching us that. Everything about drawing a gun and shooting it to defend yourself takes time. And how do you win a gunfight? Stop wasting time. And, you know, if there was one major thing I learned that entire weekend was stop wasting time. The longer it takes you to draw your gun, the more time you're wasting. The longer it takes you to get a couple of quality hits on target, the more time you're wasting. Time can be your friend or your enemy in a gunfight. If you can perform and perform quickly, like 1.5 seconds or so, draw the gun, get two quality hits in 1.5 seconds. That's good time. That's decent time. If you can go below that, that's even better. Ben Branham and I have been out to the range practicing, and I think I got my time down to 1.37. 1.37 seconds. Draw and fire two shots and make those two shots hits, not just spray them, but actually hit and get a good quality hit. Stop wasting time in a gunfight. You know, your enemy is, they're going to be coming at you full speed with everything that they've got. The more time that you waste, the more chance you have to get hurt or die. And you're not eliminating the threat. So what Tom had us do is he broke everything down to the fundamentals. And it was very, very good to get back to the fundamentals. I think if you are going to be serious about carrying a gun and serious about defending yourself and saving your life or the lives of loved ones, you need to get back to the fundamentals periodically. And it was really good for me. I'm estimating I shot about 700 rounds. I haven't done a total count yet, but I'm estimating I shot about 700. I brought 1,000 to the class like the instructions said, but I didn't shoot 1,000. We had a fairly large class. There were 26 students in the class. I will compliment Mr. Givens on doing a great job handling 26 students. He had two other instructors that were very good. All the instruction that I got from the other instructors was excellent. But Tom himself did, you know, 90% of the instruction. He had two big relays. And we all, there wasn't any movement in the class, which I'll get to, but it was, you know, I think it was his first level combative pistol class. And that wasn't what I went for. I didn't go there to learn how to move and shoot, because I go other places to learn that, and I teach that, and I work with other people on helping me move and shoot better. That wasn't why I went to the class. But Tom did a very good job. You know, if you recall recently, John Payne and I talked about going to large classes and how sometimes that could be a disadvantage. I will say this was not a disadvantage, having a large class. Obviously, Mr. Givens has done this before. Many times, over and over. He's used to handling large classes. And that was good. So he broke our fundamentals down. The draw, the presentation, firing the shot, getting two sight pictures for every shot. Two sight pictures. The first sight picture is the sight picture you get when you press the trigger, and then you follow up and quickly get another sight picture. Whether you're going to fire another shot or not, get back on target. Get the second sight picture after you fired the shot. Very important. And all that, the faster, the better you can get at all that, the better you save time. You know, still, gunfights are over quickly. And even if you're involved in an active shooter event, you know, even if Johnny Jihad is shooting up the building that you're in, okay, that might take more than 3 seconds to end. But I bet it doesn't take much longer than that. You know, and as we all know, these terrorists, they're cowards. They're cowards. And if somebody is there shooting back at them, the chances are very good they'll take their own life, they'll quit, they'll leave, they'll get out of there. But you can't always count on that. So, you know, your five-shot revolver may not be enough in that situation. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and Tom Givens talked about that as well. So, the next point I want to cover, the next takeaway that I got from the class, I love it when Tom calls handguns pop guns. I love that, pop guns. Now, Mr. Givens carries a Glock 35, which, for people that aren't real familiar with Glock models, that is a 5-inch full-size tactical practical competition model Glock in .40 caliber. And I gotta say, he does a good job of concealing it and does a great job of carrying it inside the waistband in a JM Custom Kydex inside the waistband holster. And I was interested and pleased to see that he's carrying a pistol like that, a decent capacity pistol. And he calls them pop guns. And Tom spent a lot of time talking about that people live through handgun shots. A lot, especially the dirtbags that do a lot of attacking of people. Many of them are used to getting shot. And I really liked his statistics. I can't remember them all. And I liked his stories. You know, he served as an expert witness many times. And I liked his stories about bad guys that have taken shots. And as a matter of fact, to them it's no big deal to take a handgun round. Or two or three or five or even seven. And they live. And they go to the emergency room and they get patched up. They get, you know, band-aids or very little, you know, care. And maybe they keep them overnight. Maybe they don't. And they send them out. They treat the handgun rounds as pop guns. And, you know, as they say, bring a rifle or a shotgun if you really want some serious stopping power. And friends with rifles and shotguns if you know the stink's going to go down. But we as civilians, how often do we get that chance, right? Virtually not at all. We don't know that the crap's going down. We have no clue. All right, we're going to be in a reactive situation. So probably you're going to be left with your pop gun. So how many rounds do you have in your pop gun? You know, how many do you have? I think the more you can have in your pop gun, the better off. So, you know, I really liked that. As I mentioned, Mr. Givens has served as an expert witness a lot of times. And another big takeaway I got is he says the gun does you no good if it's not on you. And I really like the fact that he took issue with, you know, with the saying, your handgun is to fight your way to your long gun. Folks, this is not a military operation, okay? To all my friends who listen to my podcast who are in the military, and in fact, some of them are overseas and they're deployed right now, and they're listening to me, and the reason I know this is because I get emails from them. We civilians back home, we're not engaged in a military operation. So the idea that we're going to use our pistol to fight our way back to our long gun to keep staying, to stay in the fight is really a fallacy. How many examples can you cite where that has happened for a civilian? In the military, I get it. Maybe in some law enforcement cases, I get it. But that's not what we civilians on the street having to react to a bad guy or react to a Johnny Jihad shooter. You really think, are you serious? You really think you're going to have the time to use your handgun to fend off the bad guy or bad gal and be able to get back to your vehicle or your house, wherever you're keeping your long gun, and finish the fight? Hey, wake up from that dream, would you? That's just, you know, that's internet talk, that's forum talk, that's a dream. Your bad guy encounter is probably going to be over in 3 or 4 seconds, maybe 30 seconds to a minute max. All right? And you're going to be fighting with whatever you have right now. Right now. So here's my understanding of what Tom Givens taught us. You know, because we had a significant amount of classroom time. You know, 85 to 90% of the class was out on the range shooting. That's why I went through 700 rounds in a couple days, approximately 700 rounds. But a lot of real good classroom time, and Tom's got his act together when he's teaching in the classroom, that's for sure. His experience shows. You're going to be fighting with what you have on you. That's it. So, when you're carrying a 5-shot or even a 6-shot gun, you know, be careful to think, oh, that's all I'm going to need. A lot of bad guys survive 5 or 6 shots with a handgun, and they keep fighting, and they'll continue to shoot you or stab you, even after they've been shot 5 or 6 times with a handgun. I'm not making this up. Tom Givens has studied this stuff. And other good trainers have said the same thing. Other top-notch trainers say the same thing. The poor stopping power of a handgun means you need to have as many BBs or bullets in your gun as you can possibly carry at that moment. So Tom's experience is invaluable. I learned some things I did not know. You know, I put that Facebook post out before I went to the class. You know, I put a Facebook post out that said, I do not know what I do not know. And I know that there are things I do not know, so I'm going to a class so that I can know some things I do not know. Right? Well, guess what? My goal was achieved. I learned some things I did not know. And, you know, I am a person that knows that there are things I don't know. It's too bad that there are so many people that don't know what they don't know, and they're clueless. And, I won't get off on that tangent. One of the things I liked about what Tom taught was that he taught us how to solve defensive problems as they might occur. There was no movement in this class, like I said, but that's okay. It wasn't one of my objectives in taking the class. I am forever a student, and I do continue to try to advance my craft. You know, my craft of carrying a gun and using it for self-defense if that day comes, which I hope that day never comes, as I've said many times. I don't want to have to do this. I want to be prepared. And by the way, I have the mindset where I will shoot in self-defense. In self-defense only, if it's my last resort and I have no other choice and I've exhausted every other possibility to get out of that situation. Okay? So you'll likely learn some of what I learned a little bit. If you train with me, I'm going to try to figure out a way to incorporate some of what Tom teaches. But if you get a chance to go to this class, you got to go to this class. It was well worth the time and money. I spent a lot of time and money on doing it. I flew to Baton Rouge from San Antonio. got lazy, didn't want to drive. That's a significant drive, didn't want to do it. I should have done it. I should have driven out there, but yeah. You know, I had the money, so I did it. I flew. And, you know, shooting 700 rounds, paying for the class, which I believe was $450, well spent. But I made a significant investment for that weekend. But here's what I believe, folks. I believe that I am the greatest investment that I have. I believe that you are the greatest investment you have. Is there anything that you can invest in that will generate a better return than investing in yourself? If you think education is expensive, try ignorance. Hey, I'll say that again. An old mentor of mine taught me that. If you think education is expensive, try ignorance. Whoa, there's a big cost to that, is there not? Another drill that Tom Givens taught us is that, you know, he put up targets with different colors and different shapes. And each color of target and each different shape had a number in it. And he would ask us to do things like, he would call it a number, like number 7. And we would have to shoot the targets in numerical order to equal 7. So we'd have to shoot the number 5 and the number 2. And the number 5 target looked different than the number 2. And we'd have to shoot the number 5 target 5 times and the number 2 target 2 times. And if we didn't do that right, we got penalized. Now, what's the value in that? Well, when I first saw that being taught, I didn't think there was a lot of value. But Tom did a good job of explaining that it makes you think. It makes you think and solve the problem as it appears. You know, no two self-defense problems are going to be alike. Would you agree with me on that? No two self-defense problems are going to be alike. You're going to have to think on the fly. You're going to have to make decisions as events unfold. And that's what that teaches us. And the other value that I got out of it is shooting at different shapes and shooting at different colors. Hey, so many of us go, when we go and practice our shooting, what are we doing? We're shooting at a light brown cardboard or paper target, or we're shooting at a white paper target. Okay? Are the bad guys always going to be wearing a light brown article of clothing that looks just like a target that you shoot at the range? No, of course not. They're going to be wearing different colors. They're going to be wearing, you know, things of different shapes. They're going to be, you know, wearing, they're going to be different size people that you may have to defend yourself. And have you practiced getting your sights on a background, on a color that is different each time? You know what? I don't know if you know this or not, your sights look different depending on what you're shooting at. They look different if you're shooting at a red target versus a black target, versus a white target or a blue target or a yellow target. So think about that. That's great preparation, I think, when we were doing that. And so, you know, solving those, you know, basic, simple little math problems while you're under pressure. And how did he put us under pressure? He made us shoot against a shot timer. He made us shoot against the timer. And I'll tell you what, something happens to our brains, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we think we're really, really good when we're just standing there plinking away. As soon as somebody presses the button on the timer and you hear that beep, all of a sudden your brain, you know, kind of just goes to mush. Tom used a whistle. Whatever, whether they blow a whistle or whether they, you hear the beep on a shot timer, like if you're at an IDPA or an IPSC or USPSA match. People just tend to lose it, you know. They think they can really get this course of fire down, and then when that buzzer goes off, well, guess what? When a bad guy is 6 feet away from you and yanks out a large knife, the buzzer has gone off, folks. And if you're not used to being under that kind of pressure, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when that happens to you in real life? And in Tom's class, the problem was different each time. And I also like his researched statistics on DGU's defensive gun uses, as I mentioned before. He shared a lot of examples, and I don't want to give away all the class. There are some examples I could share with you, but I'm not going to. I want you to go to this class. I want you to take a chance to go to any of Tom Givens' classes you can go to. It's somebody that I think that you should set a goal to train with. I really do. So I highly recommend this class, and I think it's money that's very, very, very well spent. Now, I learned some things about what I'm carrying, and a couple of other things here I want to talk about in terms of capacity and things. First of all, let me tell you what I used for the whole class. I took two G19s. I took my fourth gen Glock 19 that I've had a real nice grip job done on it. Not a grip reduction. All I've had is the finger grooves removed, and I've had some nice texturing put on it and an undercut trigger guard. I've got speed sights on it, and I changed out the recoil spring and recoil spring guide rod to a stainless steel fourth generation that I think I got off of Glockmeister. I think it was off of Glockmeister. Anyway, it's real good quality. And that's personal preference to me. I just think that there's probably less chance of it breaking. Glock recoil springs, the plastic ones, have been known to crack. Although Glock pistols continue to function even after that. But, you know, that's just kind of one of the personal preferences. And I shot that very well. I also took my third gen Glock 19, which is nearly 100% in factory configuration. I have put a stainless steel, non-captured recoil spring guide rod in my third G19, and I have a little bit of an extra powered recoil spring, just a couple pounds heavier than the standard factory. The reason I do that is, to me, it seems to soften recoil a little bit. Some people say they don't notice a difference. I do. The only negative is you can't shoot real light loads because of that extra powered recoil spring. You can't shoot really light loads. It might not cycle your gun and you won't get maximum reliability. But I was shooting factory ammo, American Eagle. I ordered a 1,000 rounds of American Eagle 9mm full metal jacket, 115 grain, and that's what I shot for the entire class. That stuff is loaded hot enough to cycle the action on that pistol. But I didn't shoot as well. I got the stock Glock sights on that pistol, and I should have put speed sights on that pistol, or at least my Trijicon HDs, which I like just a bit better than the speed sights. But hey, you know what? I know I haven't talked much about speed sights lately, but they're good sights. They're really, really good sights. Some people say, oh, they're too busy. Too many colors. You know what? Your eyes just naturally line up those sights, those diamond shapes, for me anyway, and for my eyesight, the way it has, well, my 54-year-old eyes, they see those speed sights very well. I think the farthest distance that we were shooting in that class was like somewhere between 12 and 15 yards, so that's nothing. I mean, those speed sights work great at that distance. You know, are those sights good, really good for 25 to 40 yard shots? Not great. But, you know, that's kind of where I like the Trijicon HDs or some Ameriglow sights. I like those a little bit better for that kind of shooting. My friend Chuck has a Glock 19 with an RMR that Suarez International has done for him. And he's got the Suarez suppressor night sights on there. And, woo, that's good. That's a good setup, too. I've had a chance to get a good sight picture with Chuck's gun and shoot a similar gun with that setup on it. And I'm going to be setting up one of my Glock 19s that way. I am going to be doing it. And I want to take Gabe Suarez's Red Dot Pistol School and really learn from who I think is the best in the business at shooting red dot pistols. I really do. You know, Gabe started it. Basically, he started bringing red dot pistols into the mainstream pistol shooting culture. And they are becoming mainstream a lot more than they were, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. But, you know, maybe Gabe Suarez didn't start it, but, boy, he really brought it into the kind of popularity that it's in right now. And I've been hearing Michael Bain from Downrange Radio talk a lot about his, I think he's got two Glocks that he's got an RMR. I think he said he RMR'd a Glock 19 and a Glock 26. And he's really singing high praises of those pistols. But anyway, I was shooting 4th gen Glock, and the second day I went to my 3rd gen Glock. Never had a single malfunction, folks. Not one. Not one. What I did have is I did have a magazine in my 3rd gen Glock on the second day that did not want to drop free. I had to rip it out. So you got to be prepared for that, folks. If you have a magazine when you're reloading that doesn't drop free, you better know how to rip that magazine out of the pistol manually. Don't just always expect that your mags are going to drop free. Sometimes they don't. Don't know if it was the pistol. Don't know if it was the magazine. One of my challenges with 3rd gen Glocks is that I cannot reach the mag release as well as I can on a 4th gen Glock. I can reach it. My thumbs are long enough to reach it, but not nearly as good as the mag release on a 4th gen. So I think I'm probably going to put either a Suarez or a Vickers mag release button on my 3rd gen, or just put an extended Glock mag release button on there and then file it back a little bit so it doesn't protrude quite as much. I think the factory Glock extended mag release buttons, I think they stick out too far. That's just my personal opinion on that. Let me take a quick break and I'll be right back.
An Australian law enforcement officer called their gun registration, quote, an elaborate system of arithmetic with no tangible aim. They also called its crime control use a fallacy. New Zealand police call their gun registration system useless. Canadian registration has cost 1,600% more than originally projected, and a top Canadian cop said it does nothing to take one illegal gun off the street. And in Germany, some people estimate that upwards of 80% of all guns there are still not registered. So why do some senators, and some presidents for that matter, think that it will work in America? Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
During the break, let me remind you about our hat giveaway for all of our Shooters Club members. The annual members, annual paying members, if you sign up or you renew between now and April 30th, you get a free Shooters Club hat. You can see a picture of the Shooters Club hats at handgunworld.com. If you want to leave me a voicemail, the telephone number is 210-646-1727. I love getting call-ins and people asking good questions, making good comments and things like that. Even if you want to challenge me on something, feel free. Hey, I'm a big boy. I don't mind it. You know, I'm open-minded. You guys have noticed, if you've been listening to me for a long time, you probably noticed that my ideas on some things about carrying and shooting guns, some of my ideas have changed. I'll change my ideas. I'll change my thinking if it makes sense. And times change. Okay? When I started this show 6 years ago, things were a little bit different. My attitude towards guns and carrying was a little bit different than it is today. So I will change, and so if you guys have some things that you want to bring up that maybe I'm falling short on, or you want to talk about some things, or maybe set me straight on some things, call into the voicemail, 210-646-1727, and I'll put you on the air. Hey, don't forget to leave me an iTunes review if you listen to this show on iTunes. Had a couple of recent reviews lately. One gave me a real good review. Another guy gave me a not so good review. He's upset that I've been talking so much lately about my faith. Well, you know what? I don't care about that. I don't care about losing a listener if I'm talking about my faith. My faith's a lot more important to me than losing one listener. And you know what I really hate to see? I hate to see somebody miss out on all the good aspects of the information that I put out there. And the people, my guests. You know, the guests that I bring on this show to do interviews once in a while, boy, I bring on some guests that have some really, really good things to say. And if you want to throw out, if you want to stop listening to me and stop getting the value from all of the guests that I bring on just because once in a while I talk about my Christian faith, well, then that's your loss. It's really not mine. I don't like losing listeners, folks. I really don't. I don't want to lose a single listener, but it's a fact of life. And so anyway, but give me a good iTunes review. Don't forget about my philosophy. Take the best and leave the rest. You know, folks, I listen to a lot of podcasts. A lot of podcasts. I don't agree with 100% of everything I hear on other podcasts. And even there are people on other podcasts, hosts, that say things I don't like. But, you know, I'm not going to quit listening to them if it's a valuable podcast. And what I thought was interesting about this man's comment, he says, well, this podcast used to be good, but, you know, because of blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? If you listen to a show like mine or anybody else's, the other good podcasts out there, some of them which I'll make mention of, and you get two real good ideas or two good techniques from it, what did it hurt you to listen to some things that you didn't agree with? Come on, folks. What does it hurt you? Some other good podcasts out there. My friend Chaz at the Road Gunner podcast. Excellent information. My friend Paul Lathrop and the other many hosts at the Polite Society podcast. By the way, keep helping Paul. He's in a legal fight for his life, by the way. And I think he's been unjustly charged. And I'll put a link in the show notes where you can read about that if you don't know much about it. And if you can help with a little donation, please do that. I've recently listened to Paracast with Tom Nelson and Steve Koski's on there sometimes, and I enjoy that. I enjoy listening to those guys talk about, you know, some good stuff. A lot of competition shooting on there that I like to listen to. I think that's good stuff. I do like to listen to Michael Bain's Downrange Radio. I try never to miss an episode of Tom Gresham's Gun Talk. Whenever Pro Arms puts out a podcast, which isn't very often, but I don't miss those episodes. And if you haven't listened to the recent interview that they did with George Zimmerman, ooh, man, you need to listen to that. That'll open your eyes. And also, Officer Tim Grammons at the Skokie, Illinois Police Department, who was in a shootout with a bad guy. You need to listen to that episode that the Pro Arms did, that Masada Yub and Gail Pepin, and I can't remember the names of everybody else, but very good podcast. Listen to that when they come out. Paul Carlson, Safety Solutions Academy, and he's also on the Gun Nation with Doc Average Joe. I listen to that podcast as well. I listen to Student of the Gun Radio, Professor Paul Markle and Jared. I listen to that show. A lot of good ones out there, folks. A lot of good ones out there. Now, speaking of people from other podcasts, Rob Morse, and I first heard about Rob on the Polite Society podcast. He called in a voicemail recently, so let's listen.
Hi, Bob. This is Rob Morse. Thank you so much for supporting Paul Lathrop and publicizing his plight. He is in a situation where most of us could be. A few of us have planned ahead and bought insurance because very few of us can, cough up $15,000 in a few days' notice to pay for bail, to pay for legal fees, and to pay for investigators and lawyers' fees. Thank you for supporting him. I hope none of us are ever in that situation. If we are, I hope we have friends like you. Thank you.
Why, thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. I appreciate the good words. I will come to the defense of anybody that is defending the Second Amendment if I believe that they got in trouble for the wrong reasons. And I believe that Paul Lathrop got in trouble for the wrong reason. I will come to their defense. And by the way, speaking of defending Second Amendment advocates, ladies and gentlemen, I really believe that we are in a fight for the Second Amendment right now. I think we've enjoyed too much success recently, and we've gotten kind of spoiled. Now, please don't hear me the wrong way. Don't say that I am unhappy about our successes in the gun rights fight. We've won back a lot of very important rights. Notice I said we won back rights that were taken away from us. Okay? We have these rights. We have these God-given rights that our government over the last few decades has been slowly taking away because we've let them. And because of organizations like the Second Amendment Foundation and the NRA and the NRA ILA and Gun Owners of America and some of the other good gun rights organizations out there, we've been winning some victories. Well, we've been spoiled lately. And you need to support these organizations, folks, and your state rifle organizations. This election, you know, the Second Amendment is going to live or die on this election. I really believe that. Okay? In fact, we could get dealt a huge blow real soon. That is, if the Republican Senate caves, which they are really, really good at caving in. They've been masters for the last 10 or 12 years at just surrendering. And I think it's a real possibility they're going to cave and surrender, and they're going to confirm President Obama's anti-gun justice, and they're going to confirm him to the Supreme Court before Obama leaves office. Okay? I said it. I predicted it. Other people have predicted it too. I'm not alone. I predicted it. I hope I'm proven wrong, but I predicted it. I was one of the people that joined that prediction. Now, and so you save this episode. And if that happens, you go back and listen to this episode and realize that I nailed it. Now, if I'm wrong, which I hope I am, guess what? The next president puts not one, but probably two, and maybe even three justices on the Supreme Court. And you know what, folks? I think the likelihood of Congress passing gun control is very small. But you know what? The anti-gunners don't need Congress. They can get it done through the Supreme Court. I know that that's not the way it's supposed to work. I know that our government system's not set up that way, but you know what? It's the reality of how we live today and how we're governed today, because we've allowed it to happen. We've screwed it up. And so all it takes is one more anti-gun Supreme Court justice, and then somebody to bring a case, to bring up a case that they can get all the way to the Supreme Court. And guess what? We may start seeing some restrictions on the Second Amendment that nine judges that were not elected by the people decide what's best for us. And I know that you might not like that, but guess what? And it's not just going to happen with the Second Amendment. It's going to happen with all of our freedoms. So you just start thinking about that, and you start planning accordingly how you're going to vote and what you're going to do. And I also predict some panic buying is going to start. And I think you're going to start seeing some panic buying right around August, September, and October when the election gets closer and closer. Mark my words, you're going to see some panic buying. So if there are some things you want, you better make some plans pretty soon to buy them. Okay, that's enough of the break. Let me get back. Oh, by the way, don't forget about my Amazon store. Many of you have been buying through my Amazon store. You choose to support me, and you don't even have to spend any extra money. It's really cool. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing that. You want to make some Amazon purchases, go to handgunworld.com and go through the handgunworld.com Amazon store first. And don't forget about the classes that Ben Branham and I are teaching in Alaska and in Houston coming up, an advanced class. All right, back to the main topic.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat a 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
Oh, one more thing I thought that's a positive, a real positive. Tom Givens taught us a lot. He spent a lot of time getting us to shoot one-handed with both hands. Very important. And he explained why you want to learn to shoot one-handed with both hands and put and make hits. Again, he's all about making good hits. All right, back to the main topic about the Tom Givens class. This episode's almost over. I just have a few more minutes worth of material that I want to cover. Overall, I'm going to give this class a 9 out of 10. This class is a 9. You know, and no class is a 10, in my opinion. Because, you know, there's always room for improvement in everything. Take this class. If you have a chance to go train with Tom Givens, quite frankly, I don't know how much longer he's going to keep teaching. I think he's been pretty successful with this. And, you know, I'm not saying hurry up because he's about ready to hang up the whole teaching business. I don't know. I barely know the guy. All I did was sit through 2 days of having him teach us shoot a pistol. But, you know, I keep my ear to the ground. I listen to things. I watch things going on out there. I try to listen to what people don't say. And I don't think that the man's going to be around forever teaching classes, because he might not have to. But then again, he could be one of those people like me that might do it until God calls him home. I don't know. So anyway, good class, very good class. Ben Branham has taken it, and Ben said some good things about it. Now, there are a few things, I'm not going to call them negatives, I'm just going to say things I didn't get much out of. Just standing and delivering shots and standing there in my lane squared up to the target and never moving, that I'm not going to continue to train myself to do that. When I'm working on marksmanship, of course I'm going to do that. But I really believe you need to start moving, and even if you don't move very much, even if you just move a little bit, make yourself a moving target, get away from the line of attack from the bad guy, I think you're doing yourself a big, big, big favor, and you're helping yourself. And none of that was taught in this class. However, probably none of it was meant to be taught, and maybe Tom teaches that in other classes. So I'm not going to say that that was a huge negative, but I did expect some of that, and I thought that maybe there would be a little bit of that, but there wasn't. So I just want you to know if you decide to take this class, you know, what you're probably going to learn when you take it. And again, this was the Combative Pistol first level class, 2 days long, and probably 700 to 1,000 good quality rounds fired and good quality teaching. I like also the fact, here I am, I was going to talk about a few negatives, but there just aren't very many negatives. I like that Tom talks about how to properly grip a pistol. And I was doing some things wrong in my grip that I didn't know. And I don't want to give away a lot of his class. I want you to take it, or I want you to go to, you know, one of his range master classes and take it. So, but I realized I was doing some things wrong, and when I corrected those small little things in my group, I was shooting well. I think the best score I got was, I was only 2 points down. I think a perfect score was 150, and I shot 148. You know, it kind of takes me back to Mag 40. One shot, I threw too far to the left. One shot, and it was outside the 8-inch circle, and too far to the left, and I got knocked 2 points for that. And so I was 2 points short of a perfect score, but oh well. Hey, I still think I probably would have stopped the guy. Okay, that's all I want to say. I hope you all had a happy Easter weekend. Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I'm Bob Main, your host. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember where I first heard Paul Carlson say this: evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.